Hey, all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. And today on this podcast, I'm going to be covering the combination of budesonide and formoterol. Now, the brand name of this medication is Symbicort, and of course, I am talking about the inhaled dosage form. I do have another podcast on budesonide specifically, which is the oral formulation used in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, so you can check that out. On this episode specifically, I'm going to focus on the inhalation form of the drug combination here. So mechanistically, formoterol is a long-acting beta agonist. And how this drug works in the combination is it activates beta 2 receptors in the lungs, and this causes a smooth muscle relaxation in the lungs, the bronchioles, and allows the opening up of that airway, and hence allows a patient to breathe a little bit easier. Now, budesonide is a corticosteroid. I've kind of covered that in that other podcast as far as mechanism of action goes. But ultimately, in asthma particularly, there is a large component of inflammation in that airway. And that can sometimes happen in COPD as well. But inhaled corticosteroids are one of the mainstays in chronic maintenance treatment in asthma therapy. And they are good because they reduce that inflammation. That's how the steroids work there. Now, the one reason, one of the big reasons I wanted to cover this medication is we have had some recent guideline changes in the last year or so here, year or two, and particularly in the setting of asthma. So we have new recommendations saying that it is okay to use budesonide and formoterol combination, one inhalation as needed up to 12 times per day for an acute exacerbation. Now, this totally flies in the face of what I was taught all throughout school in the last 20, 30 years of inhaled corticosteroid therapy for asthma. Because it was, preached and definitely thought that the inhaled corticosteroids should not be used in an as-needed acute exacerbation type situation, because they, may take a little while to work. Well, with Symbicort specifically in the formoterol component, this drug, even though it's a long-acting beta agonist, has a very quick onset of action. So the formoterol takes up to minutes, so maybe like 3 to 5 minutes to really begin working and have an onset of action, which obviously could be helpful in an acute exacerbation situation. Now, when you compare that to something like Advair, for example, which has salmeterol in it, so that's a combination inhaled corticosteroid and long acting beta agonist. Salmeterol has a initial effect that takes several minutes, probably up to 30 to 45 minutes. And you could imagine somebody with acute exacerbation, difficulty breathing, that's obviously a very long time and an inappropriate time to wait for somebody needing symptom relief quickly. So the new global initiative for asthma guidelines allows for the use of budesonide formoterol combination in management of an acute exacerbation of asthma. So really, really big change, definitely a practice changing guideline update that you definitely should be aware of, and obviously, read a little bit more on it as well if this is news to you at this point. Sticking kind of with the theme of the podcast, I do want to cover adverse effects of long-acting beta agonists. I'll do that briefly. So that would be the formoterol component. Remember that beta receptors are found on the heart as well as the vessels, so you can get an increase in heart rate with beta agonist activity. Kind of with that, blood pressure can go up as well. I think I mentioned that, you know, beta receptors are on the vessels, definitely not as prominent as alpha receptors. I did want to mention that. Tremor can be a potential adverse effect. So this is generally if people are taking many doses of that beta agonist. But it is something to look out for. And, you know, the drug can kind of, you know, amp people up a little bit. So insomnia, anxiety are potential adverse effects as well. Again, the more and more you take of this, the less potentially selective it is, and the more likely you're going to run into some of the side effects mentioned there. Adverse effects, inhaled corticosteroids. Now, systemically, they aren't absorbed to a great extent, you know, when you compare it to taking, let's say, oral prednisone, for example. So we don't worry about those, you know, osteoporosis risk and increasing blood sugars. We don't worry about them quite as much, definitely, with the inhaled corticosteroids. But we do definitely educate patients about the risk for thrush. And it's important, obviously, to rinse your mouth after using these agents. There are also some, you know, upper respiratory symptoms that might happen, may bother some people. You know, you may see a little more cough or a sore throat, things along those lines as well as far as adverse effect profile goes. So let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and then we will get into drug interactions. If you're in the market, pharmacist for board certification study materials, if you're looking for good clinical case-based content, maybe you're a growing, budding new practitioner, pharmacist, nurse practitioner, med student, definitely check out all the resources at meded101.com/store, STORE. Different books on Amazon. We've got Audible books available as well as all those study materials for BCPS, BCACP, MTM certification exam now, geriatric certification exam, and of course links to our new website, RxGrad, for NAPLEX materials. So yeah, go support the sponsor. Check those resources out. I think you'll find them really, really helpful for whatever you're trying to prepare for. And again, that's at meded101.com/store. So finishing up here on drug interactions, one of the first ones I think about from a mechanistic standpoint is the beta agonist potential and the potential for that drug to be blunted by beta blockers. And generally, more specifically, non-selective beta blockers. So if we've got a non-selective beta blocker, that's going to block beta 2 receptors from being activated by the long-acting beta 2 agonist. Also, obviously, you know, selective beta blockers that, you know, primarily target beta 1 receptors, that isn't quite as concerning in, you know, blunting the effects of these respiratory agents. Important, really, really important point, and I've seen this in practice several times where clinicians either aren't paying attention or, you know, maybe they see specialty or maybe there's formulary changes. I have definitely seen patients who are taking duplicate therapy in the respiratory world. So, you know, Symbicort and Advair, for example, you know, Asmanex, you know, inhaled corticosteroid combination, or excuse me, Asmanex and inhaled corticosteroid in combination, you know, with another combination agent like budesonide and formoterol. So if you aren't sure of brand names and what's in those medications and you know they're for, you know, let's say asthma or COPD, definitely double check, make sure you're using different mechanisms of action. With this updated guideline, there may be an exception to that. You could potentially see, you know, budesonide and formoterol used as needed, let's say, for an acute exacerbation with a patient who's maybe on maintenance Advair, taking that, you know, once or twice daily. So important to recognize that those duplications can happen, but important to assess with our patients if they are using them appropriately and not doubling up in an inappropriate manner. So definitely some complications there to keep an eye out and look for. We do have, with the budesonide, some CYP3A4 inhibitors drug interactions. So a lot of the azole antifungals, clarithromycin, some of the HIV drugs, lopinavir, ritonavir, these can actually increase the concentration of that budesonide. Now, how clinically significant is it, you know, in a patient that's maybe taking PRN budesonide for Motrol? It's probably not a major issue in an acute situation. Patients taking it more chronically, just recognize that we could have a little bit higher concentrations of the budesonide formulation or the budesonide drug in the combination there. One other unique one that I did want to cover is desmopressin. This desmopressin can cause hyponatremia, and there is potential that corticosteroids could potentially exacerbate or worsen this. So it is something to look out for. Again, desmopressin isn't used incredibly often in clinical practice, but definitely something to kind of think about and monitor there. That's going to wrap it up for today. Obviously, with drug interactions, there are, you know, numerous lists of drug interactions. I try to highlight ones that really come up in clinical practice or could potentially come up in clinical practice. So obviously take that with a grain of salt there. But if you're enjoying the podcast, enjoying the information you're getting here, definitely go support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. Also got a free giveaway, reallifepharmacology.com. You can get a cheat sheet, basically a top 200 drug list that lists out important clinical pearls from each of those drugs, really highly testable pearls. Be a great resource for students and pharmacists who are taking exams there for sure. So go check that out at reallifepharmacology.com. If you enjoy the show, leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. I'm so appreciative of those that have taken the time to do that. And, you know, really proud of the ratings that we've got with the show. And obviously hope to keep up that credibility and that high rating by providing good content each week for you, trying to learn and pick up new pearls from medications. So I'm going to sign off for today. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.